Our scripture reading on this very special morning comes to us from John 19, and we'll read from the second part of verse 16 up to verse 30. So John 19 from verse 16b through to verse 30. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So far the reading. It's the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, some 2,000 years ago. Across Judea, life goes on as normal. People eat and drink as they would any other day. In the marketplaces, people barter as they always do. Women give birth and children play outside. And people die. That's just part of life. But just outside of Jerusalem, a man would die gruesomely. And his death on the cross would have an impact not just on those who were present or on family or friends, but on the whole of creation. For this was no mere man. This was the Son of God, come to earth to redeem his people. It was Jesus, the one through whom and for whom everything was created. It was he who would die on the cross to settle the account for your sin and for mine. God's great love for his people led to his son's death on that cross. And on that cross, the account was paid. It was settled fully, finally, with no more to do. But the settlement of that bill came at a huge cost. For Jesus, it came at the cost of separation from the Father. And this morning's text tells us about how that account has been settled. It tells us of the last minutes of Jesus' life. He's been sentenced to death. He's been scorned. He's been beaten. He's been rejected. And now he's hanging on a cross, dying the death of a criminal. And in these final minutes, before he breathes his last breath, he utters the words, "It is finished. It is finished." And this morning we're going to look at why Jesus said that and why he could say it. And as we'll do that, we'll see that Jesus didn't say, "You're finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." Brothers and sisters, Scripture tells us that we were born in sin, that we are sinful by nature. David wrote, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Paul writes to the Romans, All have sinned and fall far short of the glory of God. Because we are all sinners. Because we all fall short of the glory of God, we would be eternally lost without Jesus. We would not only be in dire straits, so to speak, we'd be done for, we'd be kaput, we'd be finished. The only way for us to again be at peace with God was for our sins to be covered over, to be washed away. And that could only be done by someone who did not have any sin, someone who was sinless. Now, in the song, How Deep the Father's Love, we quite appropriately sing, Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Yes, friends, he hung upon that cross because of your sin, because of my sin. But even then he didn't say, look, because I'm hanging here on the cross, because I'm being crucified, you're all done for. You're all finished. Yes, our sin held him there. But he didn't hate us for that. Even on the cross, he prayed for those who mocked him, that they would be forgiven. Even on the cross, he didn't say, you're done for, you're finished, because he knew that by his death, new life would come for all those who repent, who believe in him, and accept him as Savior. You see, dear friends, in Jesus, we are not finished. We're not in dire straits. We're not done for. In Jesus, we are a new creation. Not a dead one. In Christ, we're not finished, but the work of our redemption is. Anyone without Jesus is hellbound, bound for destruction, bound for everlasting separation from God. Anyone without Jesus is truly done for, truly finished. Without Jesus, because of our sin, we are finished. But on the cross, Jesus gives us this amazing and secure hope that everyone who accepts him as Savior is not lost. They're not done for. They are not finished. So firstly, Jesus didn't say, you are finished. But secondly, he also didn't say, I'm done with you. I'm finished. Now, I think many of us have at some time in our lives come to a point where we feel we just cannot go on. Perhaps as a kid, your parents gave you something to do, but you just could not get it done. So you gave up. Perhaps as a student, your maths tutor or maths teacher gave you some homework. But for the life of you, you just could not figure out what that graph should look like. And you gave it up for a bad job. Some of you have may have seen a boxing match where one fighter is so tired or so beaten up that the trainer in the corner literally throws in the towel. The person just cannot go on. He's had enough. He's gotten to that point where he has to say, no more, I'm finished, just get me out of here. Is that what Jesus did? No, of course not. He didn't give up, did he? He didn't give up when the going got tough. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't say, I've had enough. He didn't say, I'm finished. Jesus' suffering to us today is unimaginable. I know some of you might have seen the film, The Passion of the Christ. I didn't see it, but I'm told that some people who did got physically sick because of the violence and the pain that was portrayed. And yet, whatever was portrayed in that movie wouldn't have been even close to the agony that Jesus suffered. And even if we could imagine that pain or the agony or the anguish of his torture, there's no way that we could even imagine begin to imagine the forsakenness that Jesus felt on that cross. He experienced that the pain that he experienced caused him to cry out, my Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was the one to whom and through whom and for whom everything was created. The one who was one with the Father. And now in his human nature, he experiences the same separation from God that all who do not surrender to him will experience. Jesus was willing to come to this world, to take on human flesh, to live in this world. More than that, he was willing to suffer the agony of desolation and separation from God. separation from his Father. He died on that cross to fulfill the promises that God made, promises in God's word. Despite the false accusations, despite being found guilty on trumped up charges, despite the anguish on the cross, our Messiah was willing and to take on and to complete the work that God had sent him to do. For instance, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the full impact of what was coming hit him, he prayed that that cup of bitterness might pass him. But he never said, "I can't do this anymore." He remained obedient to his Father's will. When he was betrayed, he didn't say, "That's it, I've had enough." When he was falsely accused, he didn't say, "I don't need this in my life, I'm done." When he had the opportunity to defend himself, he didn't say, "I've done it enough, now is my time to relax." When he hung on that cross, when he hung on that cross and experienced being forsaken for your sake and for mine, he didn't cry out, "This has gone far enough, no more." And when he was ready to breathe his final breath, he didn't say, "I am finished." He didn't say, "You are finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." So what does that then mean? Let me tell you the story, begin by telling you the story that I told you a few years ago as well. It's the story of a young boy who came up to his mom one evening with a piece of paper while she was preparing supper. On it, he'd listed all the tasks that he'd done that week. For watching the baby, he'd written, "While you went shopping, 25 cents. For mowing the lawn, $2. For making my own bed, $1. For taking out the trash, $1. For walking to the milk bar, 50 cents. For getting a good report card, $5. Total owed, $9.75. They handed it to her, and the mom looked at him as he stood there waiting expectantly for his money. Then she turned the piece of paper around and started writing. "For the 9 months I carried you, no charge. For the nights I sat up with you, doctored you, and prayed for you, no charge. For all the tears you caused throughout the years, no charge. For the nights filled with dread and all the worries I had, no charge. And when you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge." Well, when the little boy finished reading, he had great big tears in his eyes, and he turned to his mom and said, "I love you, Mom." Then he turned the piece of paper around again, and in big, bold letters he wrote across the page, "Paid in full." Friends, it's this idea of paid in full that we get to in verses 28 and 30. The Greek word that's translated in these verses as "was now finished" and "it is finished" is a special word. It's found only here in the New Testament. It comes from a word which means to bring to an end or to complete. And it also has to do with accounting. It has to do with completing the payment, settling the account, paying it in full. So "it is finished" means that Jesus has settled the bill of our sin. He has fully paid the price. It's been paid for. It's been settled. But there's more to it than that, though. For you see, the way that the word is used tells us that it isn't just something that happened in the past. It's not something that happened way in the past and that's where it stayed. It tells us that while the action has been completed, the results of that action continue on. Yes, even to today, even to the present day, we might say that it's the gift that keeps on giving. And what an amazing gift it is. Jesus has paid the price. He has settled the debt. He's taken the judgment and the punishment on himself. Not for his sin, because he was sinless, but for your sin, for my sin, for our sin. And that debt has been settled. It's been fully paid, no matter what. No matter what it is, it remains fully paid. There's no unfinished business. And that's hugely important for us today. You see, what Jesus did on the cross remains in effect today. And it is as powerful as it was then. It means that salvation is still available today to everyone who accepts Jesus as Savior. His work was completed. It is completed. It remains completed. And even today, yes, even right now, salvation is available to those who repent and believe in Jesus as the Redeemer. As we think of our Savior hanging on that old rugged cross, that so cherished cross, his cry of victory echoes down through the centuries. It is finished. It was finished in the past, it's finished in the present, and it will remain finished in the future. So what is this it that Jesus has finished? Remember, his cry wasn't a cry of despair. It wasn't the I can't take it anymore type of cry. It's not the cry of defeat. No, beloved, it's the cry of triumph, the cry of victory. It's the bold proclamation that he has fully completed all the work that the Father sent him to do. He's responded in obedience to the Father's will. He's revealed the love of the Father, and he has completed his work of redemption. Jesus has firstly responded to the Father's will with obedience. Now, this, of course, shouldn't surprise us, for God's word consistently tells us of the oneness of Jesus and the Father. Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one. Didn't he also say, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work? Jesus gave up the glory of heaven to come to earth to accomplish the work his Father set out for him. His passion was to glorify the Father by doing his will. Everything that he did was for that purpose. That's why he could cry out in triumph, it is finished, because he's accomplished the high point of his obedience to his Father. What a magnificent picture that paints for us of his obedience to the Lord. And what a picture that paints for us about life, a life of obedience to our God, what it should look like. A life of obedience to the will of God. A life which brings glory to God. Friends, do you have that passion, that craving, that hunger and a thirst for a life that brings glory to God? Can we say that this is our passion? Can you or I say that that is what we do? What do you say? Jesus could say it's finished because he'd accomplished the work that he came to do. But he could also say it's finished because his work of revealing the loving heart of his Father was complete, was done. The fact that God the Father was willing to let his Son die on that cross as the means for dealing with our sin tells us, as nothing else can, that these sins matter tremendously to our God, our holy God. And through this, we see the incredible, incredible loving heart of God. On the cross, Jesus shows us the fullness of the heart of God. That he should give his only Son, for us, sinners all, to snatch us back from everlasting shame. That is the proof of how amazingly loving our God is. At Calvary, we do not simply hear, behold the man. We do not simply hear, behold the king. No, we hear, behold your God. On that cross, more than anywhere else, Jesus fully displays the loving heart of God. His final words say, it is finished, Father. I've shown them how incredibly loving you are. And of course, Jesus could say it's finished because his work of redemption was completed. Each and every part of our redemption is contained in his sacrifice across on the cross. The debt of sin has been cancelled. With that single offering, Jesus made perfect forever those who are being made holy. There's nothing more to do. It is finished. I can't put it any better than the Apostle Paul did in his letter to the Colossians, where he said, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," his work of redemption was completed. This is the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The unblemished lamb has been sacrificed for our sin. It is finished. All the requirements of the law have been met. It is finished. The curse of the law has been removed. It is finished. The record of debt that stood against us has been cancelled. It is finished. Satan's hold and dominion over man has been broken. It is finished. Our relationship with God has been restored. It is finished. What does that mean for you and me today? Brothers and sisters, Christ's finished work gives us joy. It gives us peace and it gives us rest. Doesn't it bring great joy to your heart to know that the one for whom, through whom, everything was created is the same one who has paid the debt of yours perfectly, fully, and finally? Doesn't that give you joy? Doesn't it bring you great joy to know that the one to whom every knee will bow is the same one who has ransomed you from your slavery to sin and has set you free to live again? He's done it all. It's finished. Doesn't that bring great joy to your heart? Christ's finished work gives us and should give us great joy. And it also gives us a marvelous peace. Because it is finished, because his work is finished, all those who accept Jesus as Lord have been made part of God's family. We've been made part of the real royal family. To put it this way, we're princes and princesses in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus' work is finished, we've been adopted into the family of God, and we are co-heirs with Christ. And because it is finished, our adoption into God's family, into God's household, is secure. If you are a repentant believer, your status as a child of the Almighty God is secure, for nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Joy and peace. That's two things that flow out from our lives because of Christ's completed work. But that's not all. There's joy and there's peace, yes. But we can also rest in his finished work. You see, everything that was a barrier to our acceptance by God has been overcome. Jesus' finished work drew us near to God. He suffered being forsaken by the Father, and that means you and I will not feel that forsakenness. Our names have been written into the book of life through the blood of the Son shed on the cross. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Christ's sacrifice is complete. It's finished. It's final. And it's completely sufficient. We can take joy in it. We can find peace in it. And we can rest in it as well. But you know, sometimes we try and carry the burden of our guilt ourselves. Perhaps we might feel so guilty over a particular sin that we try to earn forgiveness through our work. Our own work. Perhaps we might think we've stuffed up so badly that there's no hope for us, that we cannot be forgiven. Perhaps you may be viewing your relationship with God as terminal, too far gone to be resuscitated by the completed work of Christ on the cross. But brother, sister, friend, wherever you are at this glorious Friday, Good Friday morning, I can boldly, confidently, and without hesitation proclaim to you that your sin or my sin is not too much for Jesus. Jesus put to death your sin in his death on that glorious cross. On that cross he said, it is finished. He has brought those who've surrendered to him into the kingdom of his Father. He's brought reconciliation, he's brought restoration. He has paid the price of our sin, the full price, finished, complete. Simply come to Jesus, cling to him, for he is your hope, your only hope, your only guarantee. As you leave here this Good Friday morning, even if you forget everything else, please remember this. His work is finished. It remains finished. Yesterday, today, and also tomorrow. As we sang earlier, he was lifted up to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can know that the work of your Son was completed, that it was finished, that the debt of sin has been fully discharged, that it's been paid in full. His wounds have paid our ransom. His dying breath has brought us life. And, O Lord, we thank you for that mercy and that grace and that glorious gift of your Son, whose death we celebrate today. But we also know, Lord, that it was our sin that held him on that cross. It was our sin that held him there until his work of redemption was accomplished. So, Lord, we pray that you will give us the strength, that you'll give us the courage to keep clinging to the cross, to keep looking to and holding on to the finished work of Jesus. And, Father, lead us and guide us, so that each one of us will live a thankful and grateful life, a life of obedience to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.